Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. We're going to finish up our series this week called Potty Mouth and then start the Upside Down next week. And if you're just joining us, all of our series, this four-part series, is online. We have a podcast. It's on Stitch. It's on iTunes. You can watch these videos on Facebook. But we've been talking about how any language that is counteractive to the love of God is potty mouth. It's not just about bad words or curse words or anything like that. It's everything, anything, any kind of communication that's counteractive to the love of God is potty mouth. And it's something we want to avoid because our words have great power. And in the words of Spider-Man's uncle, with great power comes great responsibility. But we have to be responsible with our words because even James in the Bible tells us that our words have the ability to do great things, but also too, they can also spark a fire in the world and do great damage. And so we have to be mindful of our words because how many times do we say, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say that. Well, what I meant was, no, you said what you said, and now we have to live with the damage. And now we have to come in and we have to heal the situation. We can't undo the past. And so we have to be mindful of our words. And so what I want to talk to you about this week to finish off the series is the antidote to potty mouth. Something that we could all practically start to do right this very moment that would enable us to be more Christ-like, to be more Christian, to be more like Jesus, but also to stop ourselves from being potty mouths. Because as I said last week, it's so important for us as Christians, we represent Christ. We represent Jesus. When people look at us so often, they go, oh, those Christians are just like everybody else. Actually, they're even more rude. They're more hateful. They're more judgmental than most. And it's because of the words that we use. And so what I want to encourage us all to do is I want us to begin to use encouragement. We need to use encouragement as an antidote to our potty mouths. Encouragement is so, so very important. There's so much that we can do. And I've been so lucky in my life to have encouraging people around me, to know people who use their words in order to encourage me and lift me up. And their words have had powerful effects on me. You know, I remember before we planted this church, we started this church with just a handful of people in the firehouse on Cherry Street. But before we ever did that, man, I think about it now. It's like, it's so weird. I was 24 when we started this church. I was like a kid. That was stupid. Why did you hire me? But I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never done this before. And I didn't feel like I had the resources. I didn't feel like I was the guy. And then I went to this like church planning school, this three-day thing where they taught us about church planning and they taught us about, you know, timelines and how to create a plan and everything else. And so I took it super, super seriously. And Dave Hazel was my instructor, a pastor out of Kansas City. And I remember being there, and I had to stand up the last day. Everybody had to stand up and give their presentation of what they were going to do, what their church plant was going to look like. And so, you know, I got up, and everybody was getting up and, you know, telling their thing, and everybody was like, oh, good job, you know, all right. And they'd give them some feedback and some things they might want to think about and stuff. And so I stood up, and I gave mine. And I was so nervous, and really, I didn't know if I was the guy for the job. And so I stood up and I gave my presentation, and I'll never forget Dave Hazel, what he said. I was like, all right, they're going to like rip me apart. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? I know I need to work on it. But Dave Hazel, he stood up and he goes, well, he goes, we need to all get up and we need to all go put our hands on Michael and we need to pray for him because he's got a plan and it sounds like he's about to go do something great. So can we all stand up and go pray around Michael? And all these guys, 40 guys came and put their hands on me and prayed over me because they said, this is it. We believe in you so much. You are going to do this. This is great. This is going to happen. And I mean, I left that room feeling just undefeatable. I mean, I was hulking out. I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, this is going to happen. This is great. I was so encouraged by Dave's words and his leadership in that moment. His words had an impact on my life, so much so that when I have a problem, Dave's the guy I call. Dave's the guy I call. And I go, Dave, I got this problem. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen. And Dave's like, I got you. Let's get together. It's going to be okay. He's an encourager. You know, I also think about in my life, somebody who's related to many of you, the first person that we ever passed away from Anchored Hope Church, first funeral we ever had, Margaret Vow. Margaret Vow, she's such a dear part of our church. We got her picture upstairs in the studio the last time I was able to serve her communion. And Margaret had this great ministry. She would call the church office the first day of every month, and she'd say, give me all the anniversaries. Give me all the birthdays. And she would sit down over the next week, and she would write birthday cards, and she would write anniversary cards, just encouraging people and loving people and telling them how much God loved them and just telling them that they were praying for him and stuff like that. Man, Pastor Appreciation Month is October. I didn't make that up. Somebody else did. But Pastor Appreciation Month is October. I always looked forward to October because not only was it Pastor Appreciation Month, but my birthday is in October. And Margaret would write me this card that was like a book. I mean, there was no white left in the card. She would fill this thing up with just encouraging words and scripture and tell me she was praying for me. So I love those cards so much. I have them by my bed. When you send me a nasty email and make me cry, I just pull out one of Margaret's cards. You know, I'm kidding. But I read those all the time. I've kept those. They're so dear to me. They're so loving. They're so encouraging. I mean, you can't read those and not know that you're loved by somebody in the world. My mom, God bless my mom. I love my mom. She is like an encouragement ninja. She started this thing, like, I remember is when I left for college. But she started this thing where she would write me an encouraging note and she'd slip it in my bag or she'd slip it in my suitcase or she'd slip it in my computer and I would find it whenever I arrived at where I was going. And it was just these words of encouragement, just letting me know that things were going to be okay, that I was doing what God called me to do, that God was with me, that everything was going to be okay, that, you know, just building me up. And I remember she did that every time I left for college. I remember she did that on my wedding day. You're changing into my tux, and what do I find? It's a card from my mom. I remember whenever we first started this church, she slipped me one of those cards. It was waiting for me by the coffee pot. She knew exactly where I'd go when I'd wake up. It was by the coffee pot, sitting there waiting for me. Words of encouragement. When we got into this building, there was a card waiting in my office for me. How in the world she got in this building, I have no idea. But there was a card sitting there on my keys of my computer waiting for me, just words of encouragement. I've been blessed with so many people like that around me who have just built me up. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage you to not only use this as an antidote to potty mouth, but I want you to think and consider for a little bit how this could be a powerful ministry for you. How possibly around you, God has placed people. God has placed coworkers. God has placed friends. God has even placed strangers among you that he wants to use you to encourage them and lift them up. Because how many of us have felt just like that song described, like we're in the middle of a storm, like we're drowning, like we can't go on any longer? And how often is what we've needed is somebody to come alongside of us and tell us that we're stronger than we know, that we can do it, that we can survive, that we've got this, that we are fully capable, that God has us in his arms and is fully aware of what's going on, that it's going to be okay. How many of us have needed that at a time in our life? And maybe what God is wanting to do through you is God is wanting to speak through you to other people, because encouragement can be a powerful, powerful tool, not only to keep ourselves from being a potty mouth, but also too, to be Jesus in the world. When we look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs were written by the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. It's how the Bible describes him. Because he asked God for wisdom to be the best king he could be, and God gave it to him. And so the Proverbs are just little pieces, little nuggets of wisdom all throughout. And it's amazing when you go through and you start to underline and you start to highlight how many times he talks about being an encourager, how powerful encouragement can be. And just in like Proverbs 10:21, this is what he says. He says, the words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. You know, the words of the godly, they encourage people. They're helpful to people. Solomon tells us that we have this potential to make this huge impact on the world. If we would just allow God to speak through us, God wants us to be this vessel of hope in the world. The words of the godly encourage many. Encouragement is one of the most Christ-like things we could do in this world, especially in a world that communicates so much hate, so much prejudice, so much anger. If we would be vessels of hope, vessels of encouragement, we could inspire people. We could motivate people. We could help people. I think the question is will you let God speak through you? Encouragement's so powerful. There's three things that I think Solomon mentions that is helpful. Why encouragement is so important. And here's the thing, encouraging words help people learn. Encouraging words help people learn. In Proverbs 16:21, this is what he says, and this is a great lesson to parents and teachers. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. The wise are known for their understanding. Pleasant words are persuasive. You know, I'm a parent. I'm a teacher. I've been a coach. You know, it's easy to just, you ever feel like you just need to yell to get the point across, you know? Like maybe if I just scream it this time, they'll get it, right? But take note of the words that he says here. He says, the wise are known for the understanding. You know what that means? It means the wise people are empathetic. Wise people understand what it's like to be a kid and to be frustrated. You know, the wise are empathetic and sympathetic. They know what you're going through when you're angry. They understand what it feels like to go through loss. You know, we can be empathetic to people who have lost someone. We can be empathetic to somebody who has a stressful job. We can be empathetic to somebody who's a single mother or who's a single dad. We can be empathetic to people who are going through something in their life when they're dealing with cancer, or they're battling a financial crisis, or their marriage is on the rocks. We can empathize with those people, and we can love people in the midst of that brokenness, in the midst of that pain. Why? Because the wise are understanding. The wise are empathetic. The wise are able to look at the big picture and understand, and through that, they're able to still remain loving individuals, still use loving words. And you know what's amazing about that is that those wise words are pleasant, and those pleasant words are persuasive. You know, coaches, bosses, teachers, no one wants to work or listen to somebody who's just going to degrade them, who's just going to tear them down. We've learned, science has told us, the Bible tells us, that kind of communication just really doesn't get anybody anywhere. It just kind of rips up the heart, just kind of rips up the mind. But wise, encouraging people are able to persuade people, are able to coach people, inspire, motivate people in the right direction. We need to be encouraging teachers, parents, coaches, bosses, leaders in this world because we're able to teach people the right way. Encouraging words are also healing. Proverbs 16:24, just a few verses later, he says this, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. He says before that in Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. Encouragement supports a healthy life. Encouragement supports a healthy relationship. Encouragement supports a healthy marriage. Me and my wife, we learned very early on, when we were younger, we were very sarcastic people. And I don't know about your relationship or your marriage, you know, sarcasm is kind of fun, but then there always, it just crosses that line all of a sudden. And it's like, we were joking, we're teasing, and then like, just like, boom, we cross over the line. And then it's like, you hurt my feelings, now I'm mad at you. What'd you say about my mom? You know? And so we've learned with each other. Like, that's it. That's playing with fire. Eventually, one of us is going to get burned. So we don't use sarcasm. We don't mess with each other like that anymore. Because encouragement is what supports a healthy marriage. That's what always is guaranteed to talk to each other in a loving way. That's always guaranteed to protect us. You know, we don't ever tell each other to shut up or anything like that, because that is just a disaster. It always leads to poison between the two of us. So we always speak to each other in an encouraging way, because encouraging words support us. It's like honey. They're sweet, healthy for the body. But the other part is this: encouragement keeps us healthy. Because when worry weighs a person down, it's encouragement that cheers a person up. How many of you know somebody who's anxious about something right now? Who's worried about something? Who's nervous about something? Maybe your ministry, maybe what God is wanting you to do right now is God is wanting you to come alongside of that person and use encouragement. Because encouragement is something that cheers a person up. And so maybe what we need is we need to come along people who are stressed, who are worried, and we need to just encourage them. Last thing is this, is encouraging words also keep the peace. Encouraging words keep the peace. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 18:6 says this, says, fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They're asking for a beating. I love that. That's in the Bible. You're asking for a beating right now is what you're doing with your words. You're asking me to beat you up. Why are you doing that, honey? Stop that. Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. How many people do we know are always in conflict with somebody? Always fighting with somebody. Always in the midst of drama. And how many times have you wanted to go, do you know what the common denominator is with all of these stories you're telling me? You. Because this thing gets you into so much trouble so often. But if we would be more wise with our mouths, we would save ourselves from that. Angry words feed anger. Bitter words feed bitterness. Christians should not have to escalate things. We should de-escalate things. Tim Dillon and I, we used to teach basketball at Sacred Heart. Like 4 years ago, we taught a basketball team for a year or two. I can't remember. But we had one season, the last season we coached. And that last season, we had a game that didn't go very well. It was just going really, really badly. And so, we're in the middle of this game. Everybody's frustrated. Parents are frustrated. Tim and I are frustrated. The kids are frustrated. It's not going well. And then all of a sudden, like at the end of the game, I start getting text messages from a number I did not recognize, I did not have saved. And the text messages read, you have no bleeping idea what you're doing. You are bleeping, screwing up this bleeping game. And I'm just like, I'm trying to coach and I'm seeing these text messages. It's amazing. So I get out of the game and what do? I call the number. Why would I do that? That was the first. I was curious, you know? And so I call the number and it was one of the parents of the kids, one of them that I knew pretty well. Of course, he didn't stay after the game to talk to me face to face, but you know, people are much more brave behind text messages. And so he texted me these things and I call him and I say, hey, what's the deal with these text messages? And he just tears me apart. He just goes on. You have no idea what you're doing. You know, you should have put my kid in, because everybody knows that your kid is the one who could have saved the game. Remember that, okay? And he's like, you know, you should have put my kid in. You should have done this. You should have done that. All of this. And he's pushing every button, every right button. I mean, he's hitting every little thing that really gets me. And I listened. And then finally, when he was done, I just said, you know what? That really was a tough game. That was bad. And I was really frustrated too. But you know what? We'll get him next time. And I mean, I say that way differently now than I did then. I said it more through gritted teeth. I was like, we'll get hit them next time, you know? And I was just remembering that moment. I'm like, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. So I was so loving, I was so understanding. And then finally, I think he just felt stupid. Because I wasn't fighting with him, I wasn't cursing back at him, I was staying very calm. And so finally, he just started to calm down, he started to cool down. And he was like, look, man, I'm just saying all this to you just to make you a better coach. That's all. And I was like, well, you're doing such a good job at it. Please come to my staff meetings next week. You know, I stayed so calm. And then I immediately called Tim because I had to vent. I immediately called Tim. And I was like, this boy called me, you know, anyway. But I stayed calm in the moment. Why? Because I just knew if I would have fed into what he was doing, it only would have fanned the flames. It would have just been gas on the fire. Nobody would have won in that situation. And I would have been a poor representation of Christ in that moment. And so I didn't. Because encouraging words bring healing. We have to remember that in the midst of fighting, in the midst of disagreements, which we have them so often today, it's so easy to have them. But we have to be encouraging to one another. We have to remain Christ-like even in those moments. My job as a Christian is to point people to Christ, to be a loving person. So these are just some of the benefits, right? Of speaking words of encouragement. Encouraging words, they do all these things for us and they help us in so many ways. And so here's what I want to challenge you with today, okay? Is I want you this week to do this. I want you to think of three people who you can encourage this week. And I want you to do it. I'm challenging you to encourage three people this week. And I want to give you some practical ways that you can do that real fast. Is you can encourage people in three different ways. I want you to encourage people for who they are. I want you to encourage people for who they are. I grab my daughter all the time and I say, I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know I think the world of you. I just want you to know you're so important to me. I've probably stopped doing that. I've probably started doing that more often now just because I realized she's getting older. We only got so many summers left. You know, this thing called parenting is going by really fast. So as many times as I can, I just grab her and I look her in the eyes and I say, hey, I just want you to know I love you. Because it's so important to do that. Because our time is very limited. And every moment, every time, all the time that we have is a gift. And so it's important for us to thank people, not just for what they do, not for what they gave us, but just for who they are. You know, when's the last time that you called your parent, talked to your parent, just grabbed your parent and said, hey, thank you for being my dad. Thank you for being my mom. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for making me. I don't know. You know, just thank you. Thank you for being there for me. Hey, when's the last time you talked to your spouse like that and told your spouse, hey, I'm so glad that we met. You know, if you think about our story, how we met, where we met and everything, I'm so glad to know you, to share this life with you, to be in love with you. I mean, you're great. I mean, just think about hearing that yourself, mom, dad. Think about if your kid said that to you. How touched you would be, how encouraged you would be. Spouses, husbands, wives, how encouraged would you be just to hear that from your spouse? Because how often do we go through our routines, we rip through our schedules, but what would it mean if your spouse just stopped, grabbed you and looked you in the eye and said, I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know how much of the world I think of you. And I tell you, there have been weeks where that's all I needed to hear from somebody. But thanking people for who they are. Teenagers, man, if you did that to your parents, your mom would start to cry, number one, just in an instant, right? Your dad would go, uh-huh, but he'd cry later. I mean, I guarantee it, he will. But man, teenagers, like your parents, they're trying their hardest. They're doing their very best with what they've been given. Man, it would mean the world to them. You know, parents, teachers, How awesome would it be to stop and talk to our teachers, to talk to our coaches, and just say, thank you for who you are to my kid. Thank you for being my kid's teacher. Thank you for being my kid's coach. Thank you for taking time out of your week, out of your day, away from your family to be my kid's coach, to be my kid's teacher, to put my kid before your kid, to put my family before your family. Man, thank you so much for who you are to our family. You know, my kids are in preschool and daycares, and you know what? More often, I need to stop and go, hey, thank you every day for being there for my kid. You know, for being there while I have to go do this. Thank you for who you are to my child. Thank you for being their friend. Thank you for being their mentor. Thank you so much for who you are to them. Yeah, the second thing we need to do is we need to encourage people for what they do. We need to stop and not take it for granted any longer, but thank people for what they do for us. You know, just to stop every once in a while, you know, again, in the family, we go through the routines and we go through our schedules and stuff. But how often do we really stop and go, hey, I just want to say thank you for dinner tonight. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for allowing me to have people over tonight. I know it was stressful. I know it was hard for you to get off work and, you know, to come home to that. And you probably would rather do something else. But thank you for letting me do that. That was really cool. And thank you for watching my kids. Thank you for being there. Thank you for what you've done for us. To just have that encouragement amongst one another. This week, I went to chaplain school for the Moscow Mills Police Department. They asked me to be their chaplain. It's a volunteer thing that they wanted me to do. And honestly, I did not know what I was getting into when I signed up for it. And then I went to school this week, and I was horrified. Literally one night, I woke up screaming because I had a nightmare from all of the stories I heard of things that could go wrong or things that could happen or things I could see. It was very traumatizing. But anyway, I left this week. I was talking to CJ about it, and yesterday I went to the gym, and I have so many police officer friends, so many first responders, so many dispatchers, and I just have to stop right now because I know we have a lot in this room. Thank you for what you do, because my goodness, I sat in classrooms this week every day and listened to stories and watched body cam footage and listened to all kinds of things, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I thought I knew, but I have no idea. But, you know, just to stop when you see a police officer, when you see a first responder, when you see an EMT, when you see a firefighter, when you see a dispatcher, and say, hey, I just want you to know, thank you for what you do. Thank you. What you do means the world. Thank you for your service. I try every time I see somebody who's served our military or a veteran, thank you for what you do. Because you know what? After listening to them, after talking with many this week, they don't always feel like they are encouraged. And the things that they see and the things that they go through week in and week out, there is more discouragement around them than there is encouragement. But to stop and to find those people and say, you know what? I just thank you so much for what you do. I want to encourage you. What you do matters. What you do means the world to me. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made for your family. You know, we can encourage one another in that way for what we do. But the last thing is this too. I want us to encourage people for who they can be. We should encourage people for who they can be. This is so especially crucial for our kids, for the teenagers in this room, for the kids that are downstairs. The one thing in my time as a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 2.5 years in Nebraska before I came here. And the one thing that I am most proud of is when I got there, Fremont, Nebraska, right outside of Omaha, a lot like Troy, but a little bit more rural, a little bit more small town. You know, I remember when I went and interviewed there, I hung out with the kids and I said, what do you guys do for fun? They said, we drive the square. I said, what's the square? He said, well, we go down 8th Street, and then we go south, and then we go east, and we go north. I'm like, so you drive in a square. It's not like a place. You're just telling me you drive down a couple blocks, you turn left, you drive a couple blocks, you turn left. Yeah, that's the square. Okay, that's fun here. Great. We're going to get along great. That was the kind of community that I was in, right? And so, but one of the things I picked up on right away is I had a lot of kids in high school. I had a big high school group. Right off the bat. And I said, so where are you going to go to school? They go, school? I'm not going to school. Nobody in my family has gone to school. We don't go to college around here. And they hadn't for generations. So many kids had not gone to college, had not gone to school, had no aspirations at all. When you ask them, what are you going to do with your life? I'll probably do what my dad does, probably stay on the farm, work at the farm, work at Walmart, work at Dairy Queen. Well, you can only be the queen of Dairy Queen for so long. You got to find something else to do. And so not that any of that stuff is bad, but I told them, that's fine if you decide to do that. If you want to stick around Fremont your whole life, stay close to your family, that's fantastic. But I'm just telling you, I think you ought to explore because there might be more. But the first thing that they fought back on is, I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not that kind of person. There's no way to pay for it. And then even talking with their parents, they're like, my kid's not smart enough. My kid's not good enough. There's no way to pay for it. I mean, it was just a vicious cycle. And so one of the things I made sure to do all the time is I said, look, there's more in you than you know. You are smart enough. You are good enough. And you know what? If God calls you to do something, God will provide the money. God will find you a way. We will help you. There are scholarships. There are things we can do. And so all the time, I was just encouraging those kids. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We can do that. So we would go on college visits and we would go check out schools. I would help them look into scholarships. And I was just encouraging. And I was just telling mom and dad, you know, it's going to be okay. We can find a way. We can find the money. It's going to be good. God has so many great plans for them. I can just see the potential inside of them. They are going to go do great things. And it's so cool now, 10 years later, I was just the other night, Kate and I were talking about it because I was on my Instagram. We sent, in 2.5 years, we sent 12 kids to college. 12 kids went to the school that I went to, my college that I went to. 3 of them became pastors. 2 of them became police officers. 1 of them went to school and then joined the army. And I've watched them all, like now they got kids. A bunch of them are getting married. We're all still friends. We all still talk to each other. But like they've all moved on and they all have these huge, great careers and just they're starting ministries and they're going to Africa and they're working at clinics and stuff and just the things that they're doing. And then not only that, but all of them, their siblings then went to school because they saw their older brother or they saw their older sister make it and saw that it was possible. And so then they went to school too. And I look at, I'm gonna cry. I told Kate, how cool is that? What they became, what God did in them, the impact they're having on the world. They didn't think anything of themselves. They thought all they deserved was the square. And now look at them in the world doing so many great things. It's awesome. You know, there are kids back there downstairs. Young ones even, who have some of those same thoughts in their head. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. And they need to hear words of encouragement. They need to know that God has a plan for them. That things are possible, that they are good enough, that they are smart enough, that they can find a way. And if they work hard enough and they're determined to be something, God will make them into something. No matter their past and no matter their circumstances, no matter their family background, God can do great things in them. We need to do that for our teenagers. We need to do that for our kids downstairs. We need to encourage people for who they can be. So, this is my challenge for you for the ride home. And I want you to do this. I want you to take 1 minute. I want you to take 1 minute right now to ask God who could use an encouraging word from you. 3 people this week. Who is somebody that you could take out to lunch? Who is somebody who you could text? Which I'll tell you personally, I love notes, I love emails, I love texts because I can read them over again when I need them. I can save them and I can read them once and I can read them twice and I can read them 3 times and I can stop crying and I can read them again. But who is somebody you could encourage? Who is somebody you could talk to? Maybe they're your family. Maybe they're your spouse. Maybe they're right next to you. Maybe it's a kid downstairs. But you know what, too? Maybe it'll be seeing an officer at a restaurant this week. Maybe it'll be your kid's school teacher as you go to different things, as school starts up and you go to different meetings. Maybe it's going to be your teacher. Maybe it's your kid's coach. Maybe you just ought to like buy somebody a cup of coffee and just say, hey, I just want to say thank you. You don't owe me anything. I don't need anything from you. I just want to, you know, you're loved. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. And let me tell you something. I see so many great things in you, and what you do is invaluable. Thank you so much. Man, can you imagine a world where we did that more often? Can you imagine what would change around here in our community, in our nation, in our cities, in our schools, on our ball fields, in our basketball games? What would change? We would become vessels of hope, encouragers. And how much more would we look like Jesus if we did that? So I want you to bow your head with me. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And they're going to play some music just in the background. But I just want you to bow your heads right now. Just close your eyes. And I just want you to think just for a moment. I just want you to think of somebody. You may know somebody right now. You may already know the three people. But I want you to just imagine those people in your mind. People who may need your encouragement. I want you to think about how you can encourage them. I want you to know the impact you could have on their lives. What it would mean to them to hear that. And I want you to just think about those people right now, just for a minute. Think about some of those people. Now, this week, I want you to do this. This week, before next Sunday, I want you to go and I want you to encourage those people in some way. And you know what? Maybe this morning, you are that person who needs encouragement. I want you to know this morning, no matter what you've done or how you've walked in here, God loves you. That God is with you. That I see something in you. That God sees something in you. That tomorrow is a new day and a fresh start and a turning point for you and your life. And God loves you. Here's the great thing about God. God loves you not for what you've done, but exactly for who you are. Because you are a child of God. So you should be encouraged by that this morning. But it's your job to go out and take that encouragement and to share it with somebody else, because somebody else doesn't know that. Somebody else has been listening to Satan's lies that they're not good enough, that they're not smart enough, that they don't have anything special inside of them. God, this week, as we leave here today, as we leave this room, God, would you make us vessels of hope? Would you help us to inspire? Would you help us to motivate? God, would you go out and help us go out and may with our words, with our actions, would we show who we are, who we belong to, that we are Christians? God, would you help us to be people of encouragement this week? Would you, in the three people, the faces that you've put in our mind, the three people that you've placed in our heart, God, would we this week, would we go out this week and encourage them? Would they feel loved? Would they feel lifted up? Would they feel your hope? Just flood inside of their heart. God, would they understand that you have plans and purposes for every single one of us, no matter our past, no matter what we've done. God, would we just be encouraged and lifted up by you in a mighty way, God? Would we go out and would we be able to change the world with our words, with our actions, with the hope that we can give in our jobs, with the people we know, with our family, with our friends? God, would you help us to do that this week? And would the world be changed? Would we be transformed as we become vessels of hope, God? That's my prayer for us today. God, we love you in a very real way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.